Your life has great meaning because you are a child of God. You are an intricate part of reality. You are made in the image and the likeness of reality. You are a point of awareness in the great mind of God. The Scripture says that we live and move and have our being in God. Well, we do. And we can have as much of God as we are willing to let flow into our being. Life, your life, is consciousness. Consciousness is made by thinking. Now, what are your thoughts, dear friend? Are your thoughts fearful and afraid? Or are your thoughts faith-filled and positive? Only you can judge this from the inner being of yourself. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves in life, am I a part of the problem, or am I a part of the answer? Now, when I say that life is consciousness, I mean that life is awareness. What are you aware of? You know, you've had a great deal to do with what you are aware of. I know people that are always looking for the bad, and therefore that's all they find. But I know other people that are always looking for the good, and to the great amazement of the world, that's all they find. Now, what are you looking for in life? You're looking for a better life. But that better life isn't outside of you. That better and wonderful life is within you. Everything starts with you. Jesus said this when he said, you must love your neighbor as yourself. Before you can do anything outwardly, you have to find its counterpart within you. If you want more love or joy in your life, it isn't going to come from outer channels until you first strike a chord within yourself. You'll never find God outside until you find God inside. What you are inside gives meaning to everything in your outer life. Now you find God within you in quietness. You find God within you through meditation. So I believe that life is consciousness, and consciousness is built by thinking and feeling. As within, so without. As a man thinketh within himself, so is he, the Scripture tells us. Oh, this can be so exciting, because you have the free will, dear friend, to think tremendous thoughts within yourself. You have the free will and the ability to think God thoughts. Now, sometimes when we look up in life, we find that we have many so-called problems. I hope you have problems. I feel sorry for people that do not have problems, because problems are simply evidences of a lack of something within us. Now, rather than try to solve your problem outwardly, solve it inwardly first. And as you find a right response to the fear or the doubt or the inadequacy that you find within yourself, as you solve that inner problem, your outer problem will be solved automatically, because your outer problem is simply the shadow of the inadequacy within you. So when you learn how to live, when you learn where to find real meaning in your life, you always have to start on the inside. Oh, it's so easy to blame personalities that are outside of us, or circumstances, or the establishment, or some outer thing for our inner discouragement, or inner fear or confusion. But it's only as we go within in quietness and find an awareness, sometimes an awareness that comes not from words, not even from feelings, but from an awareness of oneness with the Spirit that dwells within us. St. Paul found this awareness when he said, Christ in us, our hope of glory. My dear friend, you are fantastic. You have this point of awareness within you that strikes a harmonious chord with the inner awareness of the whole universe. Now, it isn't so much what happens to us in life. I don't know what's happening to you right now, but I can tell you this. You solve your problems not with what's happening on the outside, but your reaction to what's happening within you. When you meet hate with love, when you meet injustice with a feeling of just response, when you meet fear with faith on the inside, this is where you solve your problems. In a sense, you know, each of us live in our own little world. As it were, we live in a little plastic bag tied neatly at the top with a bow. And we can't get out of this little plastic bag. If I were ridiculous enough to say that I hate you, I would be so wrong. I don't hate you. I hate my you. And so it is when I say I love you, I'm really saying I love my you. You see, I must take the responsibility of my hate and its results. And I must take the responsibility of my love and my love's results. We find that hate only backfires upon us. It only contaminates our own little world. And so it is with love. When we love, we first affect our own consciousness, and then the love goes out into the world around us. So be careful of your world and what you are creating, because you right now, by your thinking, even as you follow me in these thoughts, you are creating a new awareness of life. And that new awareness of life will spring forth as the imagery behind the moving picture film springs forth upon the screen as you sit there and watch the panorama of the story in the movie picture unfold. Well, so it is in each of our lives. It is the light of God flowing through our consciousness that projects a film that we call life. When we understand where life comes from within us, we understand then where to make the intricate adjustments of love and peace and joy so that we can change the imagery of our consciousness and therefore change the results of our lives. When we come to love, and love is the greatest thing in the world and has the most meaning, most of us use the word without knowing truly what it means. Most of us say, I love you. And we really don't mean, I love you. What we are really saying is, I need you. It's wonderful to need people. But let's know that we need to need them as well as to love them. You know what another word that means love is? The word oneness. When you are at one with something, you love it. When you are at one with a flower, you love that flower. When you are at one with a sunset, you love that sunset. When you are at one with the world, you love the world. Now, most of us don't see the meaning of our problems because we're so busy running from the problem. But so you were to become at one with a problem, so you were to enter in and say, I need this problem. It's teaching me something. What is there here that I need to learn? What is there within me, some response that I need to give this problem love and faith and courage? You'll find you don't run from your problems. You, in a sense, run toward them. You're not afraid of a problem because every problem that comes to you that you can respond to in a Christ-like way makes you a better person. We learn far more from our problems than we ever learn from our successes. Now, this doesn't mean we're supposed to suffer. Far be it. We'll never suffer. when we look at our problems as opportunities, when we look at every problem as a stepping stone that lifts us higher in the ever-involving, ever-upward stance of consciousness. There are many levels of consciousness. That's why there are many parts of the church. Every part of the church is right for those who can respond to it. Every part of knowledge is right for those who can respond in a constructive way. Now, the problem that you have was tailored for you. It's not too big. Sometimes we think our problems are going to overwhelm us, but this is one truth I've always found about problems, that we're never given a problem that's greater than we are, that we can never attract a problem that's greater than we are. Sometimes the problem certainly taxes our strength. But so it is with the man who's building up his muscle power by lifting weights. He's continually adding more weight so that he will develop in a better way. Well, so it is with problems. Problems are simply those wonderful experiences that come to us that sometimes make us work a little bit, but yet, in the right way, if we handle them correctly, will draw out of us the wonderful stuff that makes us tremendous human beings and makes us more aware of our God qualities. So let's give thanks that life has meaning. Every day, every moment, every hour has meaning. The problem, the circumstance you're in right now has meaning for you, or you wouldn't be there. Sometimes we find people say, oh, that's a terrible problem you have. And we say, oh, no, it's no problem. And many times we look at others' lives and we say, oh, the terrible burdens, I don't see how they stand it. And yet they go through those situations triumphantly. This brings us to the awareness that what is a problem to one person is not necessarily a problem to another. And so we see that problems are a response, a wrong response. You'll never have a problem in your life, dear friend. You may have many challenges. When you learn to respond and let God, the great creative force of this universe, flow through you. Remember, God is always with us to take the pattern of our consciousness. When I was a boy, my mother made cookies. And these cookies were sold. It was during the Depression. And the cookies were made in the shape of hearts and squares and circles and stars and all kinds of patterns. But I know this, because I used to help her make them, that the dough always had to take the shape of the pattern of the cookie pattern. And so it is with your consciousness. You're going to have the same experiences, and sometimes this isn't very constructive. You're going to have the same experiences that will be cut from the pattern of your awareness. If you want to change that chain reaction, then you must change your consciousness. And you change your consciousness by changing your thinking to more positive, more constructive, more faith-filled, more love-filled responses to the circumstances, to the personalities around you. So if you don't like the pattern of your life, you can change it as you change your consciousness by changing your thinking. And you'll find that God, who is no respecter of persons, will flow through this new consciousness that you're creating right now. By lifting up your thoughts in positive patterns, you're going to change your consciousness, and therefore, you are going to change your life. You may not change the people in your life, but they will respond to you in more positive, loving, faith-filled ways. You may not change the outer circumstances, the material circumstances of your life, but those circumstances will react to you as you change the pattern through which reality flows through you. We were meant to express God. There is within us an answer to every problem, to every question that comes to us, when we can relax, when we can be still throughout the day at different times in moments of meditation, we are making a path through this through which this great creative force can flow through us and take form in the world around us. So let us give thanks that we are going to realize that every moment has meaning, and the greatest meaning of life is when we are still and we let God flow through our minds and hearts. There are three great laws of living, and you are living right now probably with one foot on each of these laws. The first law is the law of chance. It's the law that the fishes of the sea live by, and most of nature functions under the law of chance. For instance, a great fish will lay 1,000,000 eggs, and scientifically we figure that probably just a few of those eggs, and maybe even one or two, will reach maturity as another great fish to lay another 1,000,000 eggs. Now nature can function under the law of chance. The little daffodil that throws out 1,000,000 seeds, only one or two of those seeds need to lodge in a rich crevice of ground and mature and bloom and throw off another 1,000,000 seeds. But life can function this way in the world of nature. There are many people who live according to chance. When they get up in the morning, they say to themselves, "Well, I wonder what's going to happen today?" And off they go into their life. And it's by no chance that they are not sure what will happen, and almost anything can happen. Now this is the law of chance, and many people live by it. There is another law. It is called the mental law of cause and effect. And this is a law that sometimes we study in metaphysical truth, and we think we've hit the top when we find it. We think, "Oh, now whatever I think will come true. And all I have to do is think something long enough and hard enough, and it'll work." Well, this does work, because whatever you think, you become. Whatever you turn your attention to, that's what you become. And so we think and think and pray and pray, and sure enough, whatever we continually hold in mind, whatever we visualize, as a man thinketh within himself, so it happens. And we think, "Oh, isn't this wonderful? I found the great key, the great meaning to life." But really, the mental law of cause and effect is wonderful at times. But sometimes we want things and we ask for things that do us great harm when we receive them. And sometimes we ask for lesser things than what we really have need of. Now there is another law. It's a religious law. It's the law that Jesus talked about. It's the law of grace. The law of grace is the law of love. Remember when the Master said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." Well, the law of grace is the law that comes into operation when the mind is attuned to love. Another word for love is oneness. When you are feeling at one, and I believe this feeling can come in deep meditation, when we feel at one with the moon and the stars, when we feel at one with every blade of grass and every flower and every snowflake, when we feel at one with the Christ in us, and therefore at one with the Christ Spirit in all other people, then we are opening ourselves to function under the law of grace. There are times in our lives when we can't depend on chance. There are times in our life when we really don't know what we need, so we can't depend on the mental law of cause and effect. And that's when the law of grace comes into perfect operation. This is when God, the great reality of creation that flows through all creation as creation, flows through us and gives to us exactly what we have need of. How do we open our minds? How do we cleanse our minds? We do it by denial and affirmation. Now, denial is the mental equivalent. It is the mind's way of saying no. We say, I do not believe in sickness. That's saying no. We say, I do not believe that anything can harm me. That's saying no. We say, I do not believe in evil. That is the mind's action in saying no to something. Then our mind says yes through affirmation. We say, for instance, there is but one presence and one power in my life, God the good, omnipotent. There is but one presence and one power in my life, God the good, omnipotent. Now you say this. This is the mind's yes action. You are accepting this great truth. When your mind is submerged and controlled by this affirmative truth, then as God flows through you, reality can take the pattern of the shape of your consciousness. Now you change your consciousness when you put truth into it. Jesus said, if ye abide in my words, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, many people say the quote, if ye abide in my words, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But many people forget to say, if ye abide in my words. Now, the words of Jesus Christ are positive words. The words of Jesus Christ are always words that bring oneness. Now, many people live in a world of duality, a world of good and bad. And I wonder if you are living in that kind of a consciousness right now. You must believe that there is but one power, and that power is good. Whether you are in a court case, whether you are involved in a human relationship that's wrong at the moment, or whether you are dealing with situations within yourself, the first way, the first beginning to solve any problem in this universe is to begin with the great truth that there is but one presence and one power in my life, God the good, omnipotent. Whenever we can focus our attention on God, to the degree that we can focus our attention on God, that we can fix our mind power on the one presence and the one power, to the degree that we focus our attention on God, to that same degree, our problem begins to disappear. Now that seems almost unbelievable, dear friend, but in my opinion, it is a great truth. So if you have a problem, the more you think about your problem, the larger the problem becomes. But the more you think about God, love, peace, joy, the more you depend upon God's love, peace, and joy, and justice to work through you, to that degree the problem will begin to be solved until it's solved completely. You might say, but how could that be? I know this person won't do this. I know this circumstance won't happen. But my dear friend, there are forces in this universe that your finite mind cannot comprehend. There are right now answers to your every problem, and those answers are just waiting for you to become available so that those answers can flow through you to your problem. The only reason you have a problem is because you are not inadequate. You are not adequate to let God work through you. The moment you can open your mind to God, at that moment your problem will disappear. There is but one presence and one power in my life, God the good, omnipotent. Another great affirmation that will cleanse your mind is to say that all things work together for good to those that love God. You can paraphrase it this way. You can say, all things work together for good in my life because I am in love with life. All things work together for good in my life because I am in love with life. Love is a spirit of oneness. Love is a God response. Love is an openness in your mind to let, not to question, not to hold in your mind any limiting thoughts. One of the facets of love is trust, to trust the Spirit of Christ within you to do its perfect work, to trust the Spirit of Christ in others to do its perfect work through them. Most of us hold everyone in certain mental patterns. We say of someone, oh, they're this kind of person. We say even of ourselves, oh, well, I'm this kind of a person or that kind of a person. Let go of those mental images. Let go of those old emotional responses and let God work in your life. All things work together for good in my life because I am in love with life. Think and say this out loud again and again. All things work together for good in my life because I am in love with life. Be a positive person, and you will be a courageous person. Be a person that can look away from circumstance and look within to the unformed spiritual nature that can come forth and do its perfect work. St. Paul gave us a wonderful thought when he said, through Christ in me I can do all things. You can make this statement too. You can say, through Christ in me I can do all things. You may not know how you're going to do them. You may not even know right now where to take the first outer step. But you can take the first inner step, which is the most important step. Through Christ in me, I can do all things. One of the practices I have every morning when I awaken, the first thing I think of, and the first thing I say is something like this, hello, God. How are you today? Oh, I'm wonderful. What's up? Well, God, count me in. Many of us never really enter into life. We sort of hold back. We take one step at a time. Fling your heart open, dear friend. Open your mind to God right now and say, Father, how are you today? Here am I. Count me in. I want to live, O God. I want to live with all my being. I want to be positive and joyous. I want to be courageous and faith-filled. I want to contribute as much of you today to life as I possibly can. My dear friend, as you put these thoughts in your mind, as you put them into the words you say, as you watch your words and make them positive, as you watch your thoughts and focus on the positive aspects of your life, within the next few hours your life will change and you won't recognize your life or yourself if you follow these simple things. Do not live by chance today. Do not live because of the mental law of cause and effect. But let the grace of God, which is the love of God, come forth and fill the patterns of your thoughts and fill the inner pattern of Christ in you, your hope of glory. It will come forth into a life that's more beautiful than you've ever seen. Truly, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. If you love God, you will try with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul to love your neighbor. If you love God, and if you believe in an intelligence greater than your own, you will believe that the experiences of your life, no matter what you called them a few moments ago, those experiences in your life are the great opportunities that you've been asking for. Those experiences have come to teach you what you need to know to be the success that God created you to be. You can find that the abundance of prosperity, the great healing comfort of health, the great joy of perfect human relations, all of these things are within you. And so you say, Christ in me, my hope of glory, and Christ through the love that I create in my mind, by my words and my thoughts, Christ will come forth and express in my thoughts, my words, and my being. Christ above me, Christ below me, Christ behind me, and Christ before me, and Christ within me, brings to mind the great prayer of Saint Patrick. So let your life be a prayer, and let God flow through you right now.